Well, it's good to see you all here for the L. Nelson Bell class. We continue our study in 2 Samuel. That's going to be drawn to a close in the next couple of Sundays, and then we're going to head into totally different waters, and we'll be looking at the prophet Isaiah and some amazing passages that will all be familiar to you, I think, but seeing how they fit in the context of New Testament and our days is really kind of amazing. I've enjoyed looking ahead to that. But today, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, and then also 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and verse 20. We're going to be talking about there are always bad results from bad actions. There are always bad results from bad actions. Before we get into the scriptures, though, let's come to the Lord and ask for his blessing on this time together. Let's pray. Father, we have made the effort to come here this day to worship you and to celebrate the life that you have brought to us. We thank you for your love expressed in Jesus Christ, for your comfort expressed in your Holy Spirit, and for the power of your word that we have in written form that has lasted through the ages and continues to be our guide for life, for joy, for peace, for satisfaction. Lord, grant that we will understand not only the truth of these passages of Scripture, but how you apply them into our daily lives, and that we will be different people because we have encountered your truth, and by the power of your Spirit, you've applied it to our particular situation. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, at this particular point in our story in 2 Samuel, let me catch you up and remind you of what has taken place. Ish-bosheth is a son of Saul, and he is the king of Israel, the larger group of the Israelite nation. David has become king of Judah, that smaller segment of it. Saul is dead. Jonathan, his son, is dead, David's best friend. Abner, the general for Saul's army, is dead through treachery by Joab. And we come into this story now meeting Ish-bosheth and also two cowards who are looking for recognition and reward. One of the reasons I love these Old Testament histories is that these people are so real and are like folks that we know and have met in our lives. They are looking, these two men are looking for recognition and reward. Rechab and Baanah are brothers, and they are bad. They're captains in Ish-bosheth's army. They have led his forces in battle over the last couple of years, and now they have decided, possibly because Abner has been killed, they've decided that they're going to ingratiate themselves to King David and get rid of Ish-bosheth and unite the kingdom. Now, it's fine to want to please the king, and it's fine to want to unite the kingdom, but how you go about it makes all the difference. And these two are cowards because we're told in chapter 4 of 2 Samuel that they, though trusted by Ish-bosheth in his army, come into his residence, and while he is asleep on his bed, they murder him to bring an end to that kingdom. They behead him and carry the head to King David. And we're not told exactly, but we can all suspicion that they wanted recognition. They wanted a reward. They're expecting David to be delighted that this alternate king is now done away with and Israel can be united. It hasn't happened. Let me read this segment from 2 Samuel chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. But David answered Rechab and Baanah, his brother, the sons of Rimmon the Berethite, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life out of every adversity, When one told me, behold, Saul is dead, and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him at Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house, on his bed, shall I not now require his blood at your hand and destroy you from the earth? Boom. That was their reward, death. And obviously they have extremely short and limited memories, because they would have been aware of what had happened to that messenger, that Amalekite, who came to David expecting to get a great reward because he brought news about Saul's death. But he got death himself. And so happens to these two men. Their bad actions of murdering this man in their sleep brought about their own demise, and they were thinking they were increasing their own honor and esteem in front of the king. To the New Testament, keep this one in mind. We'll come back to it later on in the lesson. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 and verse 20. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. And then verse 20. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. We are all tempted in our lives to do something wrong for a reward or for recognition. Now, it may not be an act quite as graphic as what these two men did, but because of our own fallen natures, even though we know the Lord, there are times when we are tempted to do something we know is wrong, but it's for a good cause. And we can justify that because it's for a good cause. And to take it a step beyond that, even if you and I don't actually physically do something that's wrong, it's what's going on in here and here that make a difference as well. To think evil about somebody else, to condemn somebody else and have no evidence, no proof but hearsay, it leads to suffering. And that bad thought will lead to bad results in your life and in mine. We all desire recognition. That's just part of being human. We'd like to think that people appreciate us and are glad that we are doing whatever we're doing, that we are who we are. Every one of us has been tempted with that desire to have more physical goods, more money, greater affluence, more power. Every one of us has had to struggle with that inner voice that says, you're better than this, than what you're doing. You deserve a better situation in life than the one you've got. And we have worked hard. We've labored and been honest. We've done a good job, and there's been no recognition. It can happen in a marriage. It can happen in the workplace. It can happen in academia. It can happen even in a neighborhood, where all of a sudden you and I begin to get dissatisfied that we don't get the recognition we think we deserve or the honor of other people. And we're tempted to do something we know is wrong, and certainly to think what is a bad thought to try to get that. It's no reason to actually follow through and let that thought stay in your mind and heart, or to execute that particular action. A bad action and a bad thought will always bring bad results. Now, we know in our lives that even if we do good over and over and over, that doesn't mean we're going to have an easy life. Scripture is replete with examples, Old and New Testament, But I can guarantee you this, if you decide to do something you know is sinful, you know is against what God has called you to do, you have just increased your chances of having bad results 100%. Bad things do happen to good people. We know that. It's our experience in life. But why increase the odds to 100% by doing something that you know is wrong and by harboring a thought and an attitude that is not pleasing to God, and you know it? It is never God's will to disobey Him. Never. Now, we love to rationalize. We love to think things through. We love to think we know in our situation this is different. Let me tell you, Scripture is very clear, and this historical event that's recorded for us emphasizes it. When you and I do something bad, we will receive bad results, if not immediately, further on down the road. And it is never God's will for us to disobey Him. The temptation is so strong to deceive a little bit, to misrepresent the truth, or we don't want to call it a lie, we're just not telling the whole truth. In fact, we can even get to the point where it's okay to hurt the innocent that don't deserve to be hurt because I've got this in mind, will just be better. And God tells us in His Word over and over, that is not true. For a good cause, to hurt other people, to bring harm, never, never. Rechab and Baana, credit for uniting Israel, a reward? No. Death, a very untimely death, not on the battlefield, but because they had murdered an innocent man in his own bed, they have been killed as well. Now, their purpose, their desire to reunite Israel is wonderful. That's commendable. But it would have happened, it would have been recreated, if they had not murdered Ishbosheth. We know that. The history shows us that in God's time and in His ways, He brings about His purposes. So remember back when David had opportunities to kill Saul over and over again? He would not do it. He would not raise his hand against God's anointed. He said, look, God is going to take care of him in his own way. He's either going to meet death in battle, he's going to have a disease and die from it, or he's going to be displaced by another. He'll die a regular death. But it's not going to be at my hand because that is wrong. And so Saul continued to be a thorn in David's side until he was killed in battle and his own hubris brought him down. And now we have these two cowards to show to us bad actions always bring about bad results. As Christians, we are called to do good, not evil. We are called to obey God, and we know what He wants us to do because we have it in this book. Everything we need to know how to live our lives, how to treat other human beings is in here for us to abide by. That takes us to the passage in 2 Peter. Let me read it to you again. This is what Peter's saying, chapter 2, verses 15 and 17 through 17. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. So even if our good life, our good thoughts, our good actions do not bring about good results, we still endure knowing that we have Christ as our Lord, and He is the one we're living for, not the approval of other people, not so we have an easy life. We follow Him because He is our Lord, and we love Him, and we will go where He tells us to go. And there are times when life will be easier, and there are times when life will be hard. But as I said before, don't increase the percentages of the bad results by taking a bad action. 100% guaranteed will bring more difficulty into our lives. God is always at work for good. Never forget that. In the midst of our own trials and our own challenges, God is always at work for good, unknown to us. So often, our God is too small. We think of Him only in terms of our lives, our benefit, our families. God is at work in this entire world and people we've never met, we don't know, we don't speak their language, but He's at work for good in them as well as in us. And God sees what is happening. He knows. He's not blind to your situation. He is very aware of what's going on in your life and in mine. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm not going to take time to go to it, but at the end of several paragraphs, verses 4, 6, and 18, the same phrase is used, but your heavenly Father sees what you do in secret and He will reward you. Your heavenly Father sees. He knows. He understands. And He will bring it about, but don't take it into your hands. I'm not to take it into my hands to do something we know is disobedient to God for a greater good. Also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. Peter is simply quoting Scripture. This is who God is. This is who we are. And this is how we are supposed to act. Good is rewarded by God. Evil is punished by God in His time and in His way. And good results come from good actions. It's not always evident or clear, but it is true. Now, I don't think I've ever given you an actual homework assignment, but you've got one today. Today or tomorrow, sometime this week, go back and read the entirety of Psalm 34. Thinking of what we're saying in this lesson today, go back and read Psalm 34, beginning to end, and you will be stunned to a silence as you realize how the truth of God is so powerful in your life and in mine, as it was in David's, in these Psalms that he wrote. Obey the word of God, and all will be well in His time. In His time. Not always the way we would like it. And that is actually the hymn that I want to read to you today. This is a modern one in our lifetimes, simply called In His Time. It is based on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. In His time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way that You do just what You say in Your time. Lord, my life to You I bring. May each song I have to sing be to You a lovely thing in Your time. Lord, please show me every day, as You're teaching me Your way, that you do just what you say in your time. In your time and in your time, you make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time. Good comes from good. God's promise to you and to me. Let's pray. Lord, we cannot come before you consciously and think we are without fault. We know ourselves too well, and you have taught us about ourselves too well to be able to claim that. And so, Father, at this point, we bow before you confessing that we have had thoughts and even performed deeds that were not right, that truly hurt the innocent, and were from wrong motives in our hearts for self-advancement, for self-adulation. Lord, have mercy on us, forgive us, and grant that we truly learn in our hearts and our minds that you are in control. You see, and you reward what is good. You'll punish what is evil. Your discipline is because you love us. Oh God, help us to live a life that brings honor to you. In Christ's name, amen.